welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we have returned. And it has been a very interesting week for us. To put it generously, I think's the term.
Yeah.
We had to record a little early last week. We mentioned that when we were doing it.
Right.
Because the next Sunday, when we usually record, was WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Here in New Orleans, so we attended WrestleMania. Had a very good time there, rather enjoyed ourselves quite more than I, frankly, either of us thought we would.
Yes, we haven't been fans for, well, haven't followed it for a long time. I don't say not being fans. That doesn't feel right.
But we haven't watched a full episode of anything in about 20 years apiece, I'm pretty
sure.
Right. So, yeah, had not really done much with it in about 2 decades. Picked it back up. Had a good time. It was really interesting. Even if you are not a wrestling fan, WrestleMania is an interesting case study for a lot of reasons. From a pure spectacle, from a pure drama standpoint, there's a lot going on there, and it is actually a lot of fun, even if you're not a wrestling fan. So, something to think about.
Right.
And this weekend, even though it was Friday the 13th weekend, we found ourselves on a road trip. Kind of the road trip from hell is how it shook out.
Yeah, one more quick thing about wrestling. If you didn't catch it, episode 89 is when we talked about what haunters can learn from pro wrestling. We'll probably do a follow-up of that in the future.
Yeah, maybe next episode, who knows.
That was the
the fresh in our minds. But
yeah.
Yeah, we did that in 89.
Right.
God, we've done a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Okay. But yes, this weekend we ended up on a road trip going to St. Louis.
Yes.
To see Ellie's son, our stepson here.
Right.
Perform in Sweeney Todd.
Yes, Friday the 13th.
On Friday the 13th, it was a high school production that was way better than it had any business being, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, they did a very good job.
Set design, performance, a lot of it was just way better than it had to be. I still, you know, as I mentioned to Sean, so this is no secret to anyone, their technical crew needs to be dropped off a cliff, but,
because yeah.
I know I'm picking on high schoolers and I feel bad, but,
yeah.
But yeah, that was the main problem, was actually technical issues, oddly enough.
Right.
Which, I mean, think about it, though. With a high school production, the fact that you can say that that was the biggest issue.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
It is. So, basically, our guest for WrestleMania left on Tuesday,
yeah.
And then we left on Thursday for a 4-day trip.
Yeah. For what ended up being a 4-day trip.
Right.
It wasn't intended to be.
No.
We knew we would stay we had to kind of adjust the plans at the very last minute because of some tomfoolery in St. Louis. We won't go into the details. But we had to leave early, so we left Thursday evening, stayed Thursday night in and around Memphis.
Yeah.
Went Friday night, saw the play, stayed in St. Louis Friday night, came back on Saturday. Intent was to come all the way back Saturday day, but we had a wee spot of weather.
Yeah, there was bad weather in New Orleans, and we didn't think that it was very good to drive through it, so
yeah, especially when you're talking about driving through it at the end of a very long trip.
Right.
Like that. It wasn't a wise move. So we decided to find a place on the north side of Jackson. We found a Red Roof Inn that was in contention for the worst and scariest hotels I've ever stayed in. I am still debating whether it was this or the Knights Inn in Columbus that was scarier. It is neck and neck in my mind. The mere fact we are having this conversation does not bode well for either location.
Right.
But yes, this is not Hotel Weekly. This is Haunt Weekly.
Exactly.
A podcast about the haunted attraction industry. So please do take a moment and find us on our website, hauntweekly.com. We are also Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Haunt Weekly on Facebook. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly will take you to our YouTube channel, where this and all of our previous episodes will be available to you, along with playlists and other things to help you quickly peruse everything that we have done.
Yes.
So that is a lot of fun. Some other quick housekeeping news while we're on this particular roll. We were on Haunt Chat Live over the past week. We took a moment and we took a breather from our guests.
Yeah.
We shut them in the closet. And we took...
we shut ourselves in a closet.
To be fair, that's probably more accurate. We shut them in a bar. And we shut ourselves in the closet so we could do Haunt Chat Live. And you can watch that recording at hauntchatlive.com. Obviously, you can't see it live.
Right.
If you missed it, you will not see it live. But you can learn more at hauntchatlive.com, see the recording. It was awesome. We had a good time. We stayed around a little while afterward to chat with the regulars there. And actually, we're going to try to make it a semi-regular thing for us. We couldn't do it this week due to all the aforementioned tomfoolery taking place.
Yeah.
But coming up soon, we do hope to start making ourselves semi-regular faces of the Haunt Chat Live weekly chats.
Right.
Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact times, but I know we'll be there probably closer to 9:30, 10 p.m. on Central Time on Wednesdays.
Yes.
So...
yeah, we have another event that ends at
7.
Yeah, I believe so.
We have another weekly event on Wednesdays that ends at 9. That event usually involves me drinking, involves Crystal knitting and or painting. So Crystal will show up feeling rather craftsy, and I will show up feeling probably pretty drunk. And it will be a good time had by all, I assure you. So, yes, this is episode number 124. We said it 6 minutes in, by the way.
Yeah.
6 minutes in. 124 divisible by 4. That means it's time to do
the news.
And here's the thing. First rule for this month's news. We're not talking about all the haunts open on Friday the 13th.
Nope.
I know I say this every time a holiday happens.
Right.
But it seems like more and more and more haunts. This is the biggest Friday the 13th I've been tracking haunts. Unfortunately for me, no haunts locally were open.
Right.
I wish they had been. But yeah, there were a lot of haunts across the country open, more than any other I've seen in the past. This just seems to be I would say it's linear, not necessarily exponential, but it's definitely linear with more and more haunts opening each and every time a Friday the 13th rolls around. So there's too goddamn many of you, so we're not covering it.
Yeah.
Maybe when it becomes a more scarce thing again, we'll cover it then. But I hope that doesn't happen. I hope we don't have to cover it.
Right.
So yes, and also I want to say on a personal note, as we discussed in the previous episode, the copyright episode, I do work in intellectual property. I'm very, very proud that I only saw two haunts use trademarked logos to advertise their Friday the 13th opening. To those two, shame. To the rest of you, good job.
That seems appropriate.
You know who you are, you done bad. And that is the end of that conversation. But yes, first thing is first, as is usual, we do conference reminders, and I believe I kick off this episode is what we had agreed upon. So, on that note, sorry, should have breathed in after, anyway.
Right.
But first off this week, Halloween Show and National Haunters Convention presents Halloween Boardwalk Empire in Atlantic City, New Jersey, May 18th through the 20th at the Showboat Convention Center. Features zombie volleyball, a Hearst show, and a Mardi Gras themed costume ball. Learn all the details at HalloweenShow.com.
Yeah, that's this weekend. Last weekend was Midwest.
That's May.
Oh, May. May. Sorry.
That's next month.
Yeah.
Woo! Feeling all right there, Crystal?
No.
Honesty is the best policy.
All right. Then May 25th through 27th, we have Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio. Greater Columbus Fenton Convention Center featuring a masquerade party and a zombie walk. Pre-convention bus tour with 8 haunts, including Lessons in Fear, Ohio State Reformatory, Rotten Manor, St. Lucifer Scream Park, Erebus, and much more.
You could have just stopped at Erebus, really. That's
yeah, I know. You can also get ice cream in hell.
Michigan.
Yes. Well, you know. I don't feel like adding that in. So you can get ice cream in hell.
All right, fair enough.
Midwest Haunters Convention. www.jacksonfilmsfestival.com for more about that.
All right. After that, June 22nd and the 23rd, premiere Haunted Attractions Tour and Education Series in Ulster Park, New York. We'll be at the Super 8 Kingston. They'll be touring the Headless Horseman and all seven of its haunted attractions. Full itinerary still TBA. Learn more at premierhaunttour.com.
All right. July 27th through the 29th, it's Room Escape Conference and Tour in Nashville, Tennessee. Music City Center. Tour info is still TBA, but you can find out when it becomes available at roomescapeshow.com.
All right. After that and the last one for this week, we know we have a few more to add, by the way, but unfortunately, we got the heads up a little too late. It's Midsummer Scream, July 28th and 29th in Long Beach, California, the Long Beach Convention Center. Full info TBA. Learn all the details at midsummerscream.org. All right. That should get you through until July, rather.
Yeah.
So, did you?
Are you feeling okay?
No, I'm not. So, it is, like I said, it's been a very long week, and for the record, I am not looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
For those of you who have not heard, through one of my Twitter accounts, have jury duty tomorrow. This is going to be interesting. An expert witness sitting in the jury pool. That sounds like a hand grenade in a kindergarten, but...
That sounds like a horrible analogy.
It does. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But yes, I will be there in the New Orleans Parish Civil Court, not criminal, civil court, for jury duty beginning at 8:30 tomorrow. And I am surprisingly unenthusiastic.
Yeah.
You know, I did jury duty once before when I was 19. I did in criminal court in South Carolina.
Right.
It was a very interesting, very life-changing experience. Maybe I'll talk about it in greater length later. I don't think this is going to be that.
No, I don't think so. For one, this is civil, right?
This is civil court. Therefore, I will be discussing car accidents and money laundering and contractor fraud and things like that if I do anything.
Right.
Not the murder case I sat on all right. those years ago, back when I was 19 years old. 18 years ago. Wow. I'm old. That realization just hit like a kick in the teeth. But anyways. So we have lots of news to go over this week. I was actually very, both pleasantly and unpleasantly surprised at the amount of haunted attraction news, you know, coming around this April.
Right.
But yes, a lot going on. And first off, before we dive into the real news, several news sources were discussing the damn Pennywise animatronic.
Yeah.
We picked, and it was being picked up by the Associated Press.
Yeah.
Which is why it was everywhere in the mainstream news, but it was really kind of amusing because we Google haunted houses and haunted attractions and try to find news that's relevant to talk about. And this week, other than, of course, all the haunts open on Friday the 13th,
right.
I mentioned those previously, that buried everything. Good job, guys.
Yep.
The big story is, in terms of at least count, was Pennywise at Transworld.
Yeah.
So, I gotta say, Haunter's Hangout is leaking, guys. Some of y'all are talking to the press. I don't know who it is, but it was all up in the shop. And look, I'm not going to add much to it right now. We talked about copyright last week, 123. Feel free to go replay that episode. Feel free to go look at the slides and other information linked into it. And why using an animatronic like this might be a bad idea. And honestly, it seems kind of silly. You can make it a generic clown and
right.
be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, anyways. But yeah, so basically what I'm trying to say here is, for those who were complaining about how much this prop was on Haunter's Hangout and Haunter's Toolbox and elsewhere in our groups and forums and whatever.
How many times people tagged you in it?
Oh, God help me. It was equally bad in the mainstream press. At
right.
least as bad.
Yeah,
so,
I'd agree with that.
Just remember that next time you go and complain about that prop.
Yeah, and if you have specific questions on what you want to do in your haunt, we will be happy to answer that.
Yes. Feel free, once again, message us at Twitter at Haunt Weekly or Facebook at Haunt Weekly is the easy way to reach us. My day job, the copyright stuff, you can reach me at copybyte, copybyte.com. There's a contact form there. Feel free just to shoot me a message any old time you feel like it. Let me know you're with a haunted attraction. I'll move you right to the front of the list.
Yep.
So just let me know. If you have any questions, let me know, basically. So, okay, let's move on to real news. What do you say? That yeah. seems like bull.
Yeah, it does.
All right, this starting off with a very sad story this week. In El Paso, this article is by Aaron Martinez of the El Paso Times. Former Fort Bliss, and Fort Bliss is near El Paso, soldier's second trial in constable's death ends in mistrial. This is just a tragic story all around.
Right.
Basically, and part of the problem with talking about this particular story is there's a lot of dispute as to what happened.
Right.
And realistically, since there doesn't appear to have been security camera footage of the exact incident,
yeah,
we don't know exactly what happened. We have a he said versus he said, or specifically he versus he said incident here. But long story short, on November 1st, 2014, an individual, a soldier by the name of Devin Huerta Pearson, attended a local haunted attraction named the, I just had it in the notes and I lost it. Crystal, can you find it? Oh, there it is. The Terror Trail.
Terror Trail.
Terror Trail Haunted House, there near El Paso. And they were he and his group were being kicked out for allegedly touching or punching a cast member, which of course is a perfectly valid reason to be kicked out.
Right.
But as they were being kicked out, a scuffle broke out between Huerta Pearson and Constable Robert White, who was working kind of a detail duty at the haunt. It's very unclear what happened. Some people seem to say that Huerta Pearson did not throw any punches. Others report him throwing more than a few punches.
Right.
Either way, the end of the case is that Robert White passed away shortly thereafter. And the coroner's report said that he died of quote-unquote unrelated issues, including high blood pressure and heart disease, but called the altercation a quote-unquote significant factor in his death.
Mm-hmm.
The case first reached a jury in 2016. The jury was deadlocked 11-1 in favor of acquittal, and it appears the exact same thing has happened now in 2018.
Right. In the retrial.
Yeah, the retrial.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a sad and horrible story, and unfortunately, I don't know if anybody will ever know what fully went down.
Yeah, including the people involved, obviously. Yeah. I mean, and I'll say this, being involved in intense scenarios, you can easily lose track of what happened.
Right.
So you can. It's very easy to report what you believe happened and be wrong. And the incident, and like I said, one of the frustrations is there apparently is no security camera footage. At least no clear security camera footage.
Right.
It wasn't mentioned in any of the three articles I read on this. And like I said, we're pulling currently from the El Paso Times, but there have been multiple stories talking about this, and we read multiple, and none mentioned any security camera footage. So I guess if you're a haunt owner or operator, lesson one, security cameras outside too.
Right.
And I know we have sat here on this podcast and harped endlessly about the power of security cameras. Now there should be every room. There should be no blind spots. That's definitely very important inside your haunt, but it should be very important inside the haunt, too.
Right.
Outside the haunt, too, rather. Honestly, other than that, I don't think there's anything the haunt did wrong here.
No.
It doesn't sound like it. I mean, they had a group that there was an incident. Whether or not remember that group actually punched or touched an actor, if there was a belief they had, and there was reasonable to believe they had, it's understandable and appropriate to throw them out.
Yes.
I mean, you always err on the side of ejection.
Right.
If someone may be dangerous, if someone may be a problem, you remove them and you sort it all out later. Because it's much cheaper to refund 4 tickets than it is to deal with the litigation and the lawsuits and the headaches if they had assaulted someone and were allowed to continue.
Right.
You always err on that side. Just, it's logic. So the haunt seems like they did everything right, but this altercation between the constable and Huerta Pearson, and it's Huerta-Pearson, so I don't know if I'm saying that right at all, by the way. It's totally unclear what provoked it. It's totally unclear how it came about and what happened during it.
Yeah.
We do not know the details. And we have two different accounts. One account says that Huerta person threw several punches, including an uppercut and a hook. And then we have him and his group's account where he was completely attacked by the constable and he threw no punches in self-defense.
Yeah.
And that he was basically, quote-unquote, blindsided is the term they use.
Right.
I don't have an answer for this one. And it's like I said, the best lesson for us as haunted attraction owners is the power of security cameras in dealing with this.
Right.
That's all I've got for you, unfortunately. It's just a tragic case.
Yeah. It is.
I really wish I had
I wonder more. If anyone out there uses body cams for your security guards, I'd be interested in hearing about that. Because that seems like something that maybe we should look into.
Yeah, that and body cams are super useful in a lot of ways that aren't anticipated. And I'm not saying necessarily they need to do this, but it's a good thought exercise. You got a good point here. Because, okay, this was many, many months ago. You and I and a couple other people we knew were witnesses to a domestic dispute altercation.
Right.
We helped break it up and, you know, disarm everything and send everyone on their way. When the police came, they took our testimony of what happened clearly on body cam.
Yeah.
I spoke, so it was kind of weird speaking to this police officer's chest and the green light on.
Yeah.
It's like, here, talk to my chest.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, look, I've had a really stressful night. I'm not sure I'm up for this.
Yeah.
But it can be useful in that regard as well. You can get on the spot immediate testimony that's recorded.
Right.
Rather than getting statements later.
Exactly.
So stuff like that can be very useful. So maybe it's something to consider. Now, I will say this, the NOPD, here in New Orleans, because they're the NOPD, so I guess they would be
in
the police department, has really gone all in on body cams.
Yeah.
And the 4th District here, and I know because I go to the weekly police meetings, so at least I usually do. I won't be this week. Thank you, jury duty.
Yes.
They ensure all their officers on duty have a body cam on them.
Right.
So, and a good thought there, actually. Very good thought. Tragic story. I don't really have much to add. And like I said, we may never really know the full story of what happened with this one.
Right.
Okay, let's move on to also unhappy news. Well, this one's a little more... This is mixed. I agree. Another story by the Associated Press here. A jury rules Buckeye Valley schools must pay haunted hoorah owners $229,000 for property. Now, this is in Ashley, Ohio. The school district there sought to expand one of its schools, and the property adjacent to it was a haunted attraction, Haunted Hoorah.
Yes.
And can I just sit here a moment and totally compliment the owners of Haunted Hoorah for their location choice?
Yeah.
I just really want to praise them for that, because that is freaking beautiful. That is amazing.
Yes.
Because when we picked our home,
right,
which we knew we wanted to open up a haunt in our garage,
right,
one of the requirements we had was that we had to have a school somewhere nearby.
Yeah.
Which isn't that difficult in a city environment.
No.
Let's just be honest here.
Yeah.
But we ended up, what would you think, about half a mile?
Yeah.
From one, and we're on the same road at it, but it's half a mile that way. It's half a mile away from the river.
Lots of kids walk past our house to go to school.
Yeah. So we ended up pretty much effectively on the same road, about half a mile down. And we thought that was brilliant. We thought that was great. That was mwah, perfect. This guy got next door.
Yeah.
I'm a little jelly. I'm not going to sit there and pretend otherwise.
Right.
But anyways, they wanted to expand. So they tried to use eminent domain to claim the property. They initially offered him $100,000. He said that is not enough. According to Brent Stocksbury, the owner, he said that he bought the property at a tax sale for $11,000. Good deal.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good deal. And then spent another $160,000 on upgrades. So total, he's got $171,000 in money he has invested. He had said he wanted over $300,000. About $350,000 was what he had requested. The jury kind of split the baby on this one.
Right.
And said it's worth $229,000. The haunt is looking for a new location. And that is something we don't think about a lot as haunted attraction owners. This next statement is going to sound weird, but usually we have the property that nobody wants.
Yeah.
In this industry, we have the warehouse that's out of the way. We have, you know, the trail in the middle of the woods with nothing around it. So we don't think much about, hey, someone might eminent domain our butts.
Yeah.
And take our haunts. But it can happen, especially if you happen to be like this guy is next to a school.
Apparently. Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? It's very interesting that it happened. But he did the right thing. He fought it. And by fighting it and taking this matter to court, he got an additional $129,000.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that's not what his legal bills were.
Yeah, I would hope not.
I would hope not. Jesus. For the sale. So, good move on him, I guess. You know, eminent domain's one of those very controversial things.
It is. Yeah.
I'm not going to jump into that controversy because that's not what we're about here. But basically, yeah, I guess that's something to think about, is understand that if you do have a desirable piece of property, especially something the government might want or a government institution might want, this is a real possibility.
Yeah.
So maybe, I guess if that's you, I described you, look up a lawyer who's an expert on eminent domain and just have the name ready just in case.
Yeah.
Practical advice, you know? Yeah. I mean, if you're next door to a school, hey, good job.
Yeah. Did you buy something in a field and everything around it has grown up? Because sometimes that happens, you know?
Or is there a possibility someone's going to want to put a cut-through road right through your front door?
Right.
I mean, we've all seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. If a whole planet can be claimed.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that was a work of fiction. I'm just opening up the possibility it was fictionalized.
Yeah, but, you know, after finding some notices about going-ons in our area after the fact, it's not that far off base.
Yeah, we try to stay very attuned to the goings-on like that in our area, but even we fall short, so...
Yeah. We're totally doing this project that's going to cost you X number of tax dollars.
Oh, God.
We had a meeting about it last week that was canceled due to lack of interest, but...
Yeah, we've had two such hits recently.
I know.
We had one was the road repair project.
Right.
That's actually beginning now, functionally.
Yeah.
Which I'm not upset about that, other than I mean road closures. But also, apparently they're replacing our pool?
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully they listened to some of the information that was given about how the pool should be done. Because the original design that they came up with was not deep enough to swim in.
No.
It was stupid.
I am a 6-foot-tall lad.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
A reasonable statured bloke.
Yeah.
And I could have trivially just walked through this pool like it was nothing.
Yeah, I think they were proposing like 3.5 feet deep.
It was 4 feet. I think it was 3.5 to 5 feet. And so even at the deep end, I could have just derp through.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Even without getting my ears wet.
Yeah. Now I'm a little bit worried about the road work interfering with haunt season.
Yeah.
Because this road work is going to take forever. Ever.
It's supposed to go from April through December, and it's kind of bizarre because they've got a list of roads they're repairing, but they're not saying when they're working on what road.
Right.
It's just kind of...
And it's not through December. I thought it was like 26 months or something.
Okay, you're right. It is insanely long. So, and we had this issue a few years back where they were working on MacArthur Boulevard.
Right.
Not far from the main artery to our house.
Right.
And we thought, actually, we came within inches of canceling it
right
that year because MacArthur was completely torn up, and you and me and everyone else who lived in the neighborhood had to take this really crackpot, insane back way home.
Right.
It was nuts, and we just weren't going to tell hundreds and hundreds of kids and hundreds of parents to take that way. We weren't comfortable doing it. It wasn't safe, eh?
Yeah.
But they actually opened up enough lanes on MacArthur, like a week before we had to pull the trigger one way or the other.
Yeah.
They opened up enough lanes that we felt comfortable doing it. So we did it, and it was our best year ever up to that point.
Yeah.
We've kicked its ass since.
Yeah.
But it was our best year ever up to that point, so.
Well, every year is our best year ever. Mostly.
Well, we've had a couple stinkers, let's not lie.
Well,
don't lie to the nice people listening at home.
That's mainly because of weather.
We've had a couple weather stinkers. We also had a couple of cast stinkers early on.
Yeah.
Let's not lie. It hasn't been a complete linear curve for a linear line for us. It's got a few ziggy zags in it.
Yeah.
But overall, but the trend is positive.
Goes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Overall, the trend's been positive. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
This next one actually isn't really focused on a haunted attraction, but I wanted to talk about it for a very interesting reason. The article is by Christopher Redfear, and at 4029tv.com. Yeah, you try to find a better source on this one. Go ahead, I dare you. Mm-hmm. Cave Springs, Arkansas. It seems like the city government is in the midst of something of a civil war. There was a lawsuit filed by Nathan Coy, a former police officer who also held other positions, and J.C. Hawkins, a former deputy recorder and treasurer, against everyone else in the government, basically.
Yeah.
The government stands accused of violating their rights to free speech, violating their civil rights, and violations of the Whistleblower Act. Now, one thing that's I will say is this article did not mention the race of the people involved. So the civil rights, we don't know who's what here.
Right.
With the Civil Rights Act question here. But one of the allegations focuses on the current treasurer, Kimberly Hutchison.
Yes.
Hutchison. Who apparently runs an area haunted attraction, whether it's a home haunt or a pro haunt, it's not clear in this article.
Right.
But long story short, she is accused of discrimination because she, I'm just reading the allegation here, recorded video of black children getting scared in her haunt and sharing them at City Hall.
Yeah.
The plaintiffs in this case offered a $75,000 settlement, but and this is just one of many allegations to say, but the city has declined. The case may not move to trial. Yeah. I'm not this is weird. This is an awkward moment for me.
Yeah.
Because our clientele, we're based in New Orleans. We're a free haunted house.
Right.
Our clientele, I think, is about 95% black.
Yeah.
That's a rough percentage, but I think it's a pretty accurate one. I can watch security camera footage and do a head count later if anyone's that interested.
Yeah, please don't make us do that.
Please. That would take way too long.
Yeah.
And really, it's not that important. It's approximate's good enough.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but a large majority.
A very, very significant majority.
Yes.
Is black. And we do record security camera footage. We practice what we preach. Every room in our haunt is covered by security cameras.
Right.
And you better goddamn believe we pull down the video of people getting scared and save it places.
Yeah.
No, we haven't decided what we're doing with it yet. We may edit it into a longer video because we do talk about, you might wind up on YouTube, video recordings in progress. We get our clearances. We take care of these issues the best we can.
Right.
But yeah, I never in my life thought that that might be an allegation of discrimination.
No. Because it's basically showing what goes on in the haunt and how people get scared.
And we love sharing that footage hither and yon. We love when people see it. And right. There are some people, around our haunt, we talk about Pinocchio Boy.
Yeah.
Who, when he got scared, it's impossible to describe. He moves like a marionette.
Yeah.
It's impossible to describe any other way. That's the movement.
Yes. Yeah, he pretty much jumps and dances and in the air.
it is truly a breathtaking physical feat. I have no idea how he does it, even with adrenaline. Then we have the little girl who was being assured by her mom that the hands we had in the wall were not real.
Right.
And so they stopped right in front of the drop panel to inspect our protruding hands.
Right.
And then got scared with that. We have all these moments that we share and we talk about and we enjoy, but we never thought about it as being Exhibit B or C or D or whatever in a lawsuit.
No. No, and I don't think that that's something that anybody thinks about when you're recording your customers.
No.
Because, now, I do think that it's a little bit weird to share them at City Hall. I think that location's a little odd.
It is, but we also have to acknowledge that Cave Springs is not a large town.
Right.
And this sounds like it's the town haunted house.
Right.
You know what I mean? We are not the town haunted house.
Right.
Try as we might, we're not the town haunted house.
Yeah.
We're not being invited to City Hall or anything like that.
Right.
But yeah, I do get what you're saying. It's like, it'd be like sharing it at work anywhere else, though.
Yeah.
And, like you taking it to your office.
Yeah, and I don't do that.
Yeah. So I guess the lesson here, and we try to have lessons with the news stories when practical, is be mindful of where you show that footage off.
Yeah.
And I don't really know if that's a good lesson or not. Because this is not something I think any other haunter would anticipate.
No, and I don't know if what their demographics are as far as their visitors. If they specifically chose only African-American kids being scared.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other question we don't... Because this article didn't really talk about it, is what context was this being presented?
Right.
Was it being presented in a racial context? You know, look at how they black kids reacting on it. Now it's funny, whatever.
Right.
Was it that? Or was it just, hey, these are the people we recorded. Here's some funny reactions in the haunt.
Right.
You know, that there's a big difference between those two things.
There is.
And we don't know that.
Right.
So it's something else to think about. But yeah, be mindful of that and be thinking of that because this, like I said, it's only one allegation amid an insane amount in this wall.
Yeah.
This is an honest to God civil war in this town.
Yeah.
And like I said, the plaintiffs offered a $75,000 settlement. The city refused it and is willing to spend the legal fees to take this to trial.
Yeah.
That's how hot the civil war is.
Right.
That gives you an idea of what's up with this. So, but yeah, you never know when someone with that kind of axe to grind might use that behavior against you.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Not saying change any behavior. Not saying do anything different. Think about it.
Yeah.
Let's get some other news in. Come on, happier news. Happier news. Crystal, help me out. I need some happy news.
All right. Well, Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights has announced their first thing.
Yay! The tradition begins!
Yes, it's going to be Stranger Things. This article comes from Entertainment Weekly. It's by Mary Solosi. Universal Studios, obviously, now Stranger Things, going to be big this year.
Yeah, season 3, is it? 2 or 3, which is it? I've got a confession, guys. I haven't seen Stranger Things.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of season 2, I think that's...
Season 3 is supposed to be coming out soon.
Yes.
They are working with the show's creator, Matt and Ross Duffer, to create the attraction. So that's exciting. It's not just, you know, they're going off and they bought the rights and running away with it.
Right.
They're actually collaborating on this. That's cool.
Yeah. And so I've seen some DIY costumes of the big monster from the first season. Because it's an awesome monster.
I apparently need to watch Stranger Things.
Yeah. You would enjoy it.
I immediately feel the entirety of the audience clubbing me repeatedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw you, I haven't seen American Horror Story either.
Yeah, I've seen more than you.
I don't TV. I just don't TV much is my problem.
Yeah, but anyway, so I wonder if that's going to cause some issues if it's heavily featured in Halloween and Horror Nights with cosplayers and people who use the big monster in their haunts.
The thing about it was, for me, is Spirit, and I know I had the million groans from the audience, and even Crystal did a little on that one. I don't mean to like Beetlejuice Spirit here.
Right.
Okay? Spirit. No. They're not going to rise from the dead, okay? They're still alive. They can't rise from the dead.
Yeah.
But the point is, Spirit last year had a whole series of props and costumes related to Stranger Things 2.
Right.
Including the iconic, even I know about the Christmas lights over the letters.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it means. But I know it's Stranger Things.
It's a communication tool, Jonathan.
Oh, God. Getting the lecture going. All right. Oh, man. But anyways, so it's not just the cosplayers. It has been heavily commercialized. But,
right.
I mean, that commercialization, and I'm always torn on that because we talk about how one of the reasons you shouldn't use, like, Jason, Freddy, and all that isn't just because it's trademarked and copyrighted and all that jazz. It's because, you know, people are familiar with it.
Right.
Does that familiarity breed, you know, does that familiarity hurt the haunt, basically, is what I'm hitting at here. I don't have an answer to that. Universal obviously can get away with it.
Yeah.
Because A, they have the rights to it, and B, they have the budget and the expertise. Like I said, they're working with the Duffers.
Right.
What more do you want in terms of expertise to make it really, really cool?
Yeah. And it's their original monsters.
Yeah.
You know, and that is an element of it.
Mm-hmm.
You would expect to see it at Halloween and Horror Nights. So.
All right. Well, let's move on.
Okay.
This article is by Jessica Peralta in LA Times. The Cauldron has opened in Buena Park, California, and it has a very special owner slash founder to us in the industry. Lara Hanneman, I'm pretty sure I just butchered that horribly, worked at Knott's Berry Farm for 23 years, and among her duties was leading Knott's Scary Farm.
Yay!
So, yes, she has actually opened a new bar slash restaurant in Buena Park called The Cauldron. It is, now, but this is her saying it, by the way. It is not aimed to be a haunted attraction, but a place where anyone can hang out in a dark, romantic atmosphere. Lara, I'd like to have a word with you. We call that a haunted attraction.
Not necessarily.
Well, I mean, come on. When you have 3D images of rats running across the bar and eyes in the wall, it's kind of all an attraction.
Yeah, it's definitely...
Plus beer.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely for the haunt-minded.
Yes, the haunt-minded.
Yes.
If you are a haunt-minded sort of individual...
You will like this bar.
You might check out The Cauldron in Buena Park, California.
Exactly.
And I agree, that's actually fair.
Just like if you like vampires, you would check out the vampire bar here. The secret one.
Oh, the secret one. Secret potions.
Yeah.
Just Google it. Just do it on your own time.
Yeah, it's on the internet. It's not that secret anymore.
It's really not much of a secret, Crystal. But the bar does feature, like I said, many special effects, including a projection of a black cat walking across the bar, a seeing eye, and various other things. Looking at the photographs, it looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
I definitely want to have a drink or 20 there.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
So yeah, this is really cool and really interesting to see someone with 23 years haunted attraction experience applying elsewhere.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Very, very cool. All right. Long Beach's Queen Mary is renting out their quote-unquote most haunted room. This article is by Rob Hayes at ABC7.com. For the first time in 30 years, the Queen Mary will rent out Stateroom B340, which is rumored to be a hub for paranormal activity.
Yeah.
The rate? You ready for this? I don't think you're ready for this. I don't think our listeners are ready for this for certain. $499 per night.
Yeah.
That's a little steep for me.
That's a big chunk of change.
Yeah. Considering, I can get way more scared at the Red Roof Inn north of Jackson, Mississippi for about $56 a night. That was way more terrifying than anything they're going to throw at me.
Oh, God.
And the nights in Columbus, that was like $35. I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, and I keep wondering if some of these places, you know, that have the haunted bed and breakfast, if they rig the room in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, what if a haunted house were to open a bed and breakfast? Not call it, you know, spiritually haunted,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word, but an attraction suite.
Yeah.
You know, so that things do go bump in the night.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
That'd be interesting. It seems to me they're pulling a little bit from 1408. Remember the film we saw? I'm trying to remember who was starring in it. It was starring John Cusack. That's right. I was trying to remember who it was that was the star in it. It's a horror film. It's very mediocre, honestly. I'm not... It wasn't bad. I just don't feel like I can give it a full-throated recommendation. It was...
Yeah.
Your standard mid-2000s horror film. I don't know what you want out of me, you know?
Yeah, I know.
fair enough, right? I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't bad, it wasn't anyway. Good. Anyways, it seemed like they're trying to emulate that a little bit.
Right. But they've had thousands of customers ask about it, and so that's...
Now they're opening it up.
Now they're opening it up.
And the room will include a chest with a variety of items, including a Ouija board. I never really understood the pronunciation of that.
Mm-mm.
Ouija board. Crystal ball and other ghost hunting. If it includes an EKG meter, that would be badass. That might be worth the $499 now.
If you get to keep it.
Anyways. Moving on to our final full story for the evening. A Lowell teen. Now, this is, by the way, the Melanie... How the hell do you say that last name? Holy Jesus goddamn bivalve.
Suspicia?
Suspicia? I'm turning my laptop sideways trying to read it.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
At the Times, talked about a 17-year-old named Madeline Bogathy?
Yeah.
Who hopes one day to make a career in horror FX. Long story short, she operates Fright Productions, which puts on a little home, a home haunt there called Hells of Havenwood.
Right.
They are currently looking for a permanent venue of that attraction, but they feature her work, which includes these giant animatronic dragons.
Yeah.
Which look freaking amazing.
Yeah, and I believe that I actually saw this as it was being built over in Haunter's Hangout.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I believe that that's where I saw it. So that is pretty freaking cool. Very talented young person.
You know, we always talk about where's the next generation of Haunters coming from.
Yeah.
Here. Here's the point here. You know?
Yeah.
This and our next story.
Our next little bit
are both excellent examples.
Yes.
Of that. They are currently seeking approval for a 5,000 square foot place in Cedar Lake, Indiana, which I think is pretty badass. And I gotta say, that is a great size for an opening haunt.
It is.
I mean, if we were gonna go pro, that's probably the range we'd be looking at.
Yeah.
I would say 4,000 to 8,000 would be the range.
Yeah. Yeah. Small enough to be manageable, but big enough to have all of your, you know, runarounds and stuff without having to worry.
And it's a bit like we talked about on Haunt Chat Live, which you should still go see.
Yes. If you haven't already.
If you haven't already, go see it because it's awesome. We brought the house down. We closed the season. They're totally done now because of us. They said, we can never top having Haunt Weekly on this podcast.
Yeah, they totally didn't say that.
They didn't say any of that. The gravedigger bowed before our loss.
Yeah, no.
Okay, none of that happened. All right. Oh, well, I can't.
How big is your ego? Just wondering.
You know, it's amazing it fits in my tiny frame.
Yeah.
But none of that happened. All right. But anyways, we talked about how we're control freaks.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons we like the haunt at the scale we do is because we get to adjust and tweak every little detail, like, meticulously and repeatedly, right, and really obsess over it.
Yeah.
We're a little OCD, basically.
Yeah.
And the more we upscale, we know the harder that gets. That seems like a size we could still definitely OCD over.
Right. Especially with the crew that we've got now.
Yeah.
Who know how to take direction.
Yeah. Some of them do, at least, pretty well.
Yes.
They know who they are.
They're talented.
We have a very talented and creative crew. We very also helpful. Have a completely deaf crew, apparently, sometimes. No, I'm just teasing. They are actually very good at taking direction, yeah, in all seriousness.
Yeah, no, they are very useful.
All right, a final note this week, and this is not actually part of the list of stories, because unfortunately we don't have a story to this. There should be one, but...
Well, I think it's still being written because it just happened on Friday.
Fair enough. Lead the way, Crystal.
All right. So, one of the people that we've known for a while now, Chris Screws.
Who, by the way, we will acknowledge is one of the nicest people we've ever met.
Yeah.
As I said, as I joked earlier, he will not screw you at all.
Yes, exactly. If you've been to HauntCon recently, he's given classes on how to make prosthetics and things. I would recommend his classes. It's just for the cost of materials, so it is an extra fee for that, but... it's really good. He's a really good teacher.
And he's from the Insanitarium in Alabama, right?
Right. He works at
which we went to as part of a Hong Kong tour once.
Yes.
Bingo. Okay. I'm called up. Go ahead.
Okay. He also works...
This was such a last-minute addition. Only one of us actually knows all the details.
Yes. He also works at Pinson Valley High School in Alabama, and they just had their annual FX challenge. So it's the only high school that we know of and that he knows of that teaches horror FX techniques to kids. So that's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, and it's...
I would have loved this in high school.
Yeah, it's especially cool considering we've talked about it here, actually, a few times, about how high school has been cutting art budgets.
Right.
And that we've seen fewer and fewer artists coming out of schools, period.
Right.
Let alone FX artists.
Right. And
so
he's...
They're bucking the trend in a big way here.
Yeah, exactly. And he's one of the people that we plan to have on the show, hopefully soon.
He's just a hard guy to sit down with. He's busy.
He is a very busy man. But since the big event is over, maybe he'll have a little bit of time since summer's coming up. But anyway, there are judges.
We'll just kidnap him later. We got summer off. Alabama's not that far. We just throw him in our trunk and bring him to our studio.
We can just take the recorder there.
Oh, that might be easier.
We don't have to transport anyone.
Duct tape him to his own chair. I like this.
Exactly. Much easier. Anyway, their judges were Darla Wiggly of Wiggly FX and Ben Rittenhouse, who is a seasoned FX artist and who is also now a special FX teacher at AMUA, the Academy of Makeup Arts in Nashville, Tennessee.
Can I just say that I'm impressed to hear there is an AMUA?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
That alone is worthy of a headline for me. But anyway, let's go ahead.
Right. I may see if they actually have a summer course, because I've got some time this summer. I'm looking for ideas.
And Nashville's not that far.
Exactly. I'm looking for ideas of what to do with my time this summer. If you have any ideas, you can contact us at Haunt Weekly.
On Twitter and Facebook. By the way, I have an idea. Build our goddamn haunt.
Well, I am doing that. No kidding. That's evenings. I still have to fill my days.
Fair enough.
Because it is too hot in New Orleans during summer to work out there during the day.
We've got air conditionings now.
Well, as soon as we hook them up and make sure that they work, that will be fine.
Yeah,
anyway,
got this secondhand.
Back to the competition. The theme this year was classic monsters, things like vampires, werewolves, mermaids, a witch, Frankenstein's monsters, more. The kids designed and created every aspect of the characters from head to toe, according to Chris. And you can follow them and see all of the wonderful jobs they did on Instagram at PVHS_visual_arts. To see all the photos of the showcase.
Yeah, and it's on Instagram for those.
Right. And if you're friends with him on Facebook already, he's been posting photos of the competition there also.
Yeah.
Which is how I found out about it.
Yeah. And the stuff looks extremely cool. I just got to say, I'm looking at some of the photos now on Instagram. Yeah, this is really impressive work. I'm looking right now at a Davy Jones with the tentacles coming out of the face. That is just badass. I mean, there's no way around that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, these kids have way more talent in this air department than I do. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and even like the more subtle ones, like this one here, where it looks like it's a burn victim type thing. I'm not sure what the character is.
Right.
But you see some amazing detail and some amazing work in it. This is really great stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely a lot of great photos here. I'll include a link to it in the show notes when I publish it.
Right.
I'll use that instead of a story link, since we don't have a story link. Because the news media, man, they don't want you to hear about this stuff, man.
Well,
mainstream media is like all of them.
No, they're just running a little behind us.
It takes them a little time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just ahead of the curve on this, I admit it.
Right.
But yeah, no, this is silly, silly cool, and I really enjoyed looking at the photos of it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Chris Cruz, for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
And keep being like a totally awesome and amazing dude.
Yeah.
You are that. Well, I think that's all the news we have right now. Do you have anything else to add? Anything we forgot?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that got left on the cutting room floor this week. Maybe we'll have to do a text post or something for some of those posts.
Okay.
Because there was the post you had about how attendance at haunted attractions, actual quote unquote haunted attractions, is way up and things like that.
Right, which I think could show interest in the industry.
Exactly. So we had stuff like that we couldn't fit in here. But yeah, so there's a lot of news that we didn't get in. Sorry if we didn't get to your story. Believe me, it's just been an incredibly busy month.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, everyone, once again, we are Haunt Weekly. Follow us at Twitter and Facebook at Haunt Weekly. We're on hauntweekly.com. And once again, tinyurl.com, or tinyurl, as Jim Cornette says it. Tiny, tinyurl.
Tinyurl.
Tinyurl. Yeah. .com/Haunt Weekly will take you to our YouTube channel. Feel free to subscribe to us there. All episodes go there pretty much at the same time. They go on the website. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 124, doing the news for March and April. We will see you guys next time.